mixed martial arts and boxing fans, it's time for Fighter's Fury, Inside the Heart of a Champion, with your hosts, Brendan Tobin, Seema, and Tommy Guns. It's time for Fighter's Fury on AM 790, The Ticket.
Good Sunday morning, everybody. Welcome on in. It is Fighter's Fury here on 790 The Ticket. Thank God I don't got to talk about the Canes right now. Feels like a funeral now. Is anybody else for that? Other than, of course, FIU alum and actual fans. It feels like a funeral is like over the air of Miami today. It's weird. It's a weird feeling. Obviously, we'll get into a lot more of that tomorrow, but it was good to have some kind of a sporting event to go to after the Canes game. Because, look, the Heat game last night, whatever. I mean, it's a second night of a back-to-back. You know, good teams will blow out other teams all the time, regular season NBA. It's damn November. I'm not going to be soft and get all up in my feelings about that. But FIU beating Miami, I mean, my God. Especially with just the simple, you know, Butch being the guy to do it at the graveyard of the Orange Bowl. It is just, it's a heavy, heavy morning down here in South Florida. It really is. Again, other than for everybody celebrating at FIU, but for people who care about the Canes football program, what it once meant, all of that stuff, it's a bad spot right now. But obviously we'll get to a lot more of that tomorrow from 6 to 10 a.m. So let's switch over to what went down last night in the fight game. And honestly, if you're a South Florida guy, not much better, because Luis Ortiz, who is a resident down here in South Florida, you know, the native Cuban who was trying to become the first Cuban heavyweight champion of all time. It was a good performance from him. It was very reminiscent of the first fight. And unfortunately, we got to the seventh round. He left got to the seventh round and left himself open, and boom, right hand, right down Broadway, and he ended up getting knocked out by Deontay Wilder. Wasn't able to beat the count of 10. You know, there was some debate with him whether or not he got up or didn't get up. I tell you this, if he did get up from that knockout and they did let the fight continue, it wouldn't have been much longer. He was out. It was a devastating right hand. It was a Deontay Wilder special. And I think that if you are a Deontay Wilder fan, if you are a supporter, or if you're somebody who predicted that he was going to win that fight, which I did this last week on this very show, that fight went about as much as you thought it was going to go. It was pretty much to a T. We talked about this last week with Deontay Wilder, and my big point with it was, and Deontay was, I didn't watch a lot of the pre-fight stuff up until yesterday. I binge watched all fight camps and all that stuff, and I wasn't, you know, glued to the pre-fight buildup as I normally was. The only thing that really switched my opinion or just gave me pause, there were two things in this fight. One, I thought the odds were way too long. I thought they were way too long, even though Robbie had it in his Magnificent Seven. And by the way, Robbie's producing this morning. Good morning, Robbie. How are you, man?
Good morning.
Robbie had this in his Magnificent Seven. I told him, you know, I thought it was a little bit wary to have it where it was, just because, you know, minus 650 for Deontay Wilder for a fight he almost lost, and basically half a fight we saw yesterday, he was losing half the fight on the scorecards. It just seemed a little bit long for me. But I got it. You know, Deontay's still in his prime. Luis Ortiz, whatever age he is probably on the tail end. This is probably his last crack at the heavyweight championship. I just thought it was a little bit too long. And then, you know, Luis Ortiz traveling to Vegas and seeing the results of the shape that he got in, you were very impressed. The thing was, you know, with all of the talk of what shape he got in, I felt like he still fought that fight. I still felt like he went into this fight fighting like a guy who was trying to get through all 12 rounds, and really didn't give Deontay Wilder anything to fear or think about. And that's what we talked about last week. When we talked about this matchup, and we talked about the two of these gentlemen stepping into the ring, who has to do something really different? And that was Luis Ortiz. He really did. He had to give Deontay Wilder something to respect, something to think about, something to make him hesitate when he sees those openings, when he sees those opportunities to go and take out Luis Ortiz. Can he be given pause in the ring to not want to go there and find his opportunity to find his chin. And that wasn't the case. Luis Ortiz was winning the rounds, but he wasn't necessarily winning the fight. And what I mean by that is, yeah, he was tallying the points up and he was winning the clock game, but he wasn't imposing his will on Deontay Wilder. Yeah, there were moments where he hit nice left hands down the middle and you know, was hitting solid shots, and Deontay Wilder, some may say, looked flustered. Some may say he was being patient, but he wasn't returning fire a lot, which is why most people had it at, you know, 5-1 after six rounds. Maybe you had it 6-0. One of the judges had it 4-2. You know, that's about as best as I think you could probably have it on a scorecard basis for Deontay Wilder. But we go back to what we talked about last week, and this isn't tooting my own horn. This is just the facts when it comes to Deontay Wilder. When it comes to a 12-round fight against that guy, he's not playing to win the fight on points. He is playing to knock your head off. And when it comes to that, he doesn't need 12 rounds. He needs 12 seconds. He needs to set it up. He needs to put that right hand right on your chin or on your temple or on your cheek, and you go down every single time. Okay, only two fighters in his 43-fight career have gone the distance with him. Tyson Fury, by some miracle, was able to get up in the 12th round. Maybe it's the fact that he is a giant in his own right. He's 6'9", he weighs a ton, and he was able to absorb it more. I don't know. But Deontay Wilder, for all the crap that he gets for not being a savvy boxer, he is an amazing fighter. He is the baddest man on the planet. He represents the heavyweight championship better than anybody does because he has taken on the toughest challenges this part of his career. He has gone out and put an exclamation point on every performance that he's gone there for. And he's just everything everybody has talked about and complained about with the heavyweight division for these last 10 years, he has put forth for you. He is charismatic. He is American. He knocks people out. He takes on tough challenges. He does everything that you would want him to do. So when I looked at this matchup and I saw, okay, what can Luis Ortiz do in this upcoming fight? Yes, he's going to make things uncomfortable. He's a tough matchup because he's a great boxer. He is as pristine as it gets when it comes to the sweet science, and he is very powerful. But he had to be powerful enough to make Deontay Wilder hesitant to take those openings, and he wasn't. He was fine, but he never really felt like he was imposing his will. He never really felt like he was taking that extra step to make it his fight. He seemed almost content with, yeah, I won that round. Yeah, I did enough to win that round. Yeah, I hit a couple left hands. I won that round. There wasn't that moment from the seventh round of the last fight where you're like, oh, he's swinging the fight in his favor. This is his fight now. That never came for Luis Ortiz. And because of that, you left Deontay Wilder down on the scorecards, but not down on hope, not down on confidence. He had you right where he wanted you. And that's what that beautiful right hand was. He put him down. Fight was finished. No controversy for me with the referee, you know, waving it off or anything like that. Because in all honesty, he was probably saving Luis Ortiz from a worse beating. He really was. Because once he gets you down like that, it's going to end up being even worse for you. You don't want like a Bermain Stavern situation where he's turning you into an internet meme. That you don't want to be the case. And so we find ourselves in this position. So Deontay Wilder is going to take on Tyson Fury. And I thought that this fight was going to say a lot about the rematch between him and Tyson Fury, because I want to know, with a match like this, what is Deontay Wilder learning? What is he taking? And from my standpoint, I feel like this performance tells you a lot about what can come the next fight against Tyson Fury. I feel like this is a tough matchup, and Deontay said this yesterday, and he's absolutely right. Nobody else is facing Luis Ortiz. He's been absolutely deserving of being atop the heavyweight division with the record that he has, with the credentials that he has, and nobody's been giving him a shot. Not Anthony Joshua, not Tyson Fury. I'll take Andy Ruiz off of that list for now because he just became champion and he has a mandated rematch. But the tops of the division, only Deontay Wilder wanted that fight, and it was the fight that really put credibility on his career. And so now he's fought that fight twice. He won it late. He had some danger to get through in the first fight, and in this fight, no real danger other than being down on points. And the first opportunity, the first time that he really let his hands go, it was over. And so that tells me a lot. For everything everybody wants to say about Deontay Wilder, oh, he's not a good boxer, oh, he doesn't know the sweet science, oh, he can't stick behind his jab, he's a, you know, all of that stuff, fine, guys, but you're missing the boat if that's what you want Deontay Wilder to be. If you want Deontay Wilder to be the most pristine boxer you've ever seen, then you're missing out on one of the best knockout artists we've ever seen, one of the most powerful guys we've ever seen in the heavyweight division. You're missing out on the show. You're missing the showstopper. You're missing box office. You're missing a star in front of us. People want to talk about, Mike Tyson, maybe, Mike Tyson is the most powerful guy in the world, not Deontay Wilder. It's like, I don't know what you're talking about. You know, Deontay Wilder, he's half a foot taller than Mike Tyson, and as the career's gotten harder and the opponents have gotten harder, his performances have gotten better, and the exclamation points have gotten bigger. All respect to Mike Tyson. Listen, he's a legend. No one's ever going to take that away from him. I think he's always going to be a guy who has more of a feared aura around him. I'm not saying that Deontay Wilder is going to be a bigger star than Mike Tyson, but you want to talk about knockout power and what this guy does. Everybody who goes there falls to the canvas. And, you know, all this mental wherewithal, you know, when Tyson got pushback on his fights, when somebody bullied back on him, a lot of the times that was trouble for Mike Tyson. Deontay Wilder, that's not the case. This guy's been through some adversity, whether it's the first Luis Ortiz fight, the Tyson Fury fight, he's still been able to find these guys' chin and put them to the canvas. That's power. That is unbelievable fortitude, and that's something that is quite remarkable. So I say that all to get to this point. So I wanted to see this performance and see what he would do against Luis Ortiz with another opportunity, because we've seen him in a couple of rematches now. We've now seen him against Bermain Stiverne, who, you know, was out of shape and took that fight on short notice. So you weren't expecting much from the only guy who went the distance with Deontay Wilder. But he went from going the distance to Deontay Wilder to having one of the most humiliating knockout losses in recent heavyweight history. And then you get to the fight against Luis Ortiz, a guy nobody wants to face, a guy who looked like he was on the verge of finishing Deontay Wilder, went 11 rounds with Deontay Wilder, or 10 rounds with Deontay Wilder, and then ended up getting finished. But now, he takes him on again, and yeah, Luis Ortiz is winning on the scorecards, but he's not winning the fight. He's not winning the fight. He's not bullying Deontay Wilder. He's not giving Deontay Wilder anything to fear. And because of that, the first opening that there was, little left hook, got him on open, opened up so much, boom, right down the middle, right hand. And so why is that important in relation to Tyson Fury? It's because for everything everybody wants to talk about, Deontay Wilder not being a good boxer and not being a smart fighter and not being a fighter that anybody wants to respect because of what, you know, the sweet science is and all that stuff, this guy learns. He learns about his opponents, okay? Everybody wants to talk about, oh, Floyd Mayweather's a supercomputer. You know, he's a guy who downloads the information. No. Okay, a lot of fighters do that, guys. All right, Floyd is great at it, and maybe he only needs a couple rounds where some need an entire fight. But these guys are all great fighters. A guy who has 40 plus fights in his career, you don't fight a guy for 10, 11 rounds and think you're not gonna go and learn something the next time you step in the ring with him. And honestly, the difference is. Deontay went and he was probably a little bit more patient this last fight. He's the one who fought this fight different than Luis Ortiz did, who, you know, probably should have cranked up the aggression and instead dialed it back a little bit. And for a guy who worked on all his conditioning and got himself in tremendous shape and looked fantastic at the weigh-ins, didn't fight like a guy who really trusted this new shape that he was in. So what I think this tells us going into the Tyson Fury fight is, all right, it took Deontay Wilder a long time to really find Tyson Fury's chin. He was fighting a guy way bigger than him for the first time in his career. You know, has to hit up a little bit, has different angles that he has to work out, has to learn a quirky style. But he still got him to the canvas, didn't he? He still put Tyson Fury on his ass twice. So what that tells me is, Tyson Fury, the next time that he steps into the ring, has got a problem because Deontay Wilder learns when he faces guys, and he is not going in there to beat Tyson Fury on the scorecards. That's what Tyson Fury's trying to do. He can do all the pre-fight buildup that he wants to and say that he's, you know, I'm going to knock you out, you dosser, you bum. He can say that all that he wants. But it's not true. Tyson Fury goes out there to go outbox guys, to dance around, to stick behind his jab, to try and flush to you. He's trying to win on scorecards. Deontay Wilder's looking to take your head off, to put you on the canvas and make sure you don't get up. And now that he's been in there for an entire fight with Tyson Fury, you telling me that he's not going to know the route to his chin a lot easier than he did the last time? Because let's be honest, what you've seen from Tyson Fury since that fight, it hasn't been that impressive. It hasn't been. Well, because he did the shimmy against the Schwartz, again, like he was Ali. No, man. This guy's been the same. He doesn't look like he's adding any new tricks to his book. And so when these guys square off again, I'm sure he's going to go and win 10 of 12 rounds, 9 of 12 rounds, or however long the fight goes. I'm sure he's going to be up on the scorecards. But the difference is Deontay's going to have all of that experience of fighting him now and know how to get to his chin a lot faster than he did the first time. And that spells danger for Tyson Fury. It really, really does. You know, he's a guy who doesn't have the best chin in the world. Tremendous fortitude to take that shot in the last fight and get up like The Undertaker. We were all stunned by it. But it took Deontay Wilder really a full fight to figure out that range, to find that magic shot. It's not. I don't think it's going to take him that the next time. I really don't. I think he's going to know this opponent very, very well. I think he's going to know Tyson Fury's tactics. I think he's going to know his tricks. And I think that he is going to find that chin a lot faster. And he's going to finish him this time. I really believe that. I think this guy is the baddest man on the planet. Because he knows what he is. He doesn't try and be anything else. You know, Anthony Joshua, he goes out there. He loses a fight to Andy Ruiz. I'm too muscular. I got to fight bigger. I got to change my entire body. I got to change my entire camp. You know, he tries to recraft. He's been really shook by that. Deontay Wilder, a lot of the times you have a performance like you did against Tyson Fury. You're like, I got to change things. I got to be more of a tactician. I got to outbox. It's like, no, you're never going to be that. We're at this point in your career. You're 34 years old. Why try and be something you're not? You're a knockout artist. And he doesn't. And that's the thing I love about Deontay Wilder is that he doesn't try to be anything that he's not. He is a knockout artist. He's proud of being a knockout artist. He knows that whoever steps in that ring has to get through 36 perfect minutes to avoid that bomb. And most of them don't. Nearly all of them don't. We'll be back with more after this.
It's Fighters Fury on AM 790, The Ticket.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Tobin here with you on Fighters Fury. Hope everybody has a great Thanksgiving week coming up. I'll be in a couple days this week doing the morning show. Really great performance by Deontay Wilder yesterday. That was such a sensational knockout. He really is a showstopper. It's a lot of fun to see. And you know what? He just does seem like such a good dude because, you know, one of the reasons that he took this fight again is he wanted Luis Ortiz to get another big payday. Like, the reports are Luis Ortiz is going to get $7 million for this fight. $7 million. For Luis Ortiz to get this fight. And that's just awesome. You know, like Luis Ortiz, he's such a good dude down here as far as supporting his, supporting the fighters, the guys who train at Herman Casado's, Casado's gym, who, they go down there and whether it's a fight at the fairgrounds, a fight at the Hard Rock, wherever it may be, you know, if he's got somebody in that, first of all, he's basically at every card anyway, but if he's got somebody in his stable, he's there supporting those guys. And, you know, this is a guy who's now fought for the heavyweight championship of the world twice. It's a big deal. These guys made it to the tops, and he still has his care for those guys who are his teammates. So it's good to see Deontay had the consideration. You know, Deontay Wilder's a guy who has a daughter with special needs, and Ortiz has had to deal with that as well. And so to see that brotherhood amongst them is really great. You know, he's really got everything that you'd want in a heavyweight champion. And you know, these next matchups that are going to come up are going to be fascinating. He did confirm, because there was some discussions about whether or not was he going to bounce and do an Andy Ruiz fight instead of the Tyson Fury fight. I guess the contract is officially signed, so he is going to fight Tyson Fury on relatively short notice. Short notice isn't the right term, but he's going to have a quick turnaround. That'll be in February. And I really think that this one's going to go easy for him. I think it's going to go easier for him. And I think that he's going to win this fight. And he is just become such a devastating puncher. And no matter what, he goes and finds a target. The thing that's going to be fascinating, and I really, really would love to see, is you have Andy Ruiz taking on Anthony Joshua in a couple of weeks. They both AJ has put out the videos of himself arriving in Saudi Arabia. And this is going to be a unification bout, or a this is basically for all the other belts is what this is for. And, you know, the thing that's going to be fascinating with AJ is AJ is going about this way different than Deontay Wilder did, after Deontay probably had his toughest challenge against Tyson Fury. And some may say he was exposed against Tyson Fury. He completely changed his body. He is losing a lot of muscle. He is trying to be lean and mean. He's going to try and be this boxing savant going in there against Andy Ruiz, which is, you know, Ruiz just has stuff. Look at his body. Look at what he brings to the table. And you telling me your hands are going to be quicker than him, that you're going to have these spots? Now, the idea that he's going to take this fight a lot more seriously, I think there's something to that. Don't forget, there was a lot of weirdness over AJ that night, too. We were all looking at him, you know, looking up at the lights and kind of just seeing like he wasn't quite all there. And people were, you know, there were a lot of stuff, a lot of controversies. There were rumors that I think I've actually been confirmed that he was knocked out in sparring really, really hard. There were words of an altercation that went on in his locker room. Some people were saying panic attack. There were some wild rumors going around Anthony Joshua with that last fight that I don't know. I think he's going to probably try and do everything to be as clean and pristine as possible. But at the end of it, the question's going to remain, does he have the style? Does he have the ability to beat Andy Ruiz? Now, he did put him down in that third round. He did put him on the canvas. Can he hit something a little bit cleaner, a little bit more devastating? Yeah, I think he can. I don't think that he is completely outmatched on this, but if you want to talk about, you know, the better footwork, the better hands, all that stuff, I don't think that stuff's going to leave. As far as, I think Andy Ruiz is going to have advantages there. If you want to just talk about pure power, okay. I mean, I guess if AJ hits him just perfectly, he can absolutely devastate Andy Ruiz, and maybe that'll be something different. But he doesn't have Deontay Wilder power. He doesn't have that kind of mistake eraser that Deontay does. He's not as shameless about it. You know, Deontay's there yesterday and he's talking about, I don't care what the scorecards say. I'm not going to go and win a fight on points. AJ's not the same type of way. You know, he's not that same type of guy. And you have a lot of people questioning him, and I think that he's bought into a lot of that stuff. I see a lot of the typical mistakes that'll happen with a guy when he gets beat once. You're seeing go around Anthony Joshua. Maybe it'll all work out and he'll get a sensational knockout, and maybe that'll happen. I don't know. I don't want to rule it out, because I don't think that he is he's completely a broken fighter. But it is interesting seeing a lot of the traditional moves that you see happen to a guy who feels like his career has really been shook up. He's kind of gone to that well. But look, this is if he does win this fight and he does get his belts back, what's going to be fascinating is, do they go trilogy, or will then they finally go and make the Deontay Wilder fight? Because the way I'm looking at this is, okay, these guys are going to fight in December. If you were to do a rematch between the two of them, you could see them probably, if you were to do a trilogy, let's say AJ evens the score, you'd do something like April could be possible, maybe May, maybe June, something like that. And if that's the case, then we could look at an end of the year undisputed championship against either Tyson Fury or Deontay Wilder. I think that's probably the route they go, because I can't imagine Deontay's going to do this fight with Tyson Fury and then fight again in the summertime. I would say that he's going to fight Tyson Fury and then await the winner for however long that takes. The only problem that you have to worry about is, okay, what if it gets to a point where you know, somebody gets seriously hurt, and then there's a lot of timeout. Does Deontay take a fight? Although, look, he just made $20 million for this fight against Luis Ortiz. I imagine he's going to make more for the Tyson Fury fight. So it's not like he's going to be a guy who's hurting to go fight. That's not going to be the case for him. I do think, though, if Andy Ruiz gets the best of him in this rematch, if he does beat Anthony Joshua in the rematch, that's going to be a really easy fight to make between him and Deontay Wilder, because they're both repped by Al Haymon. So if we have the situation where Deontay and Anthony Joshua are both holding the belts by the time the spring rolls around, it could still be dicey because, look, there's been some pretty toxic talks between Deontay Wilder, Al Haymon, and that whole conglomerate. When we come back, we'll get into a little bit of news that happened with Floyd Mayweather. As he has posted on Instagram, he is coming out of retirement. What the hell does that mean? We got a little bit of insight, our first report on what Floyd's intentions are. How much do you believe him? We'll get to that next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
It's Fighters Fury on AM 790, The Ticket.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Fighters Fury here on The Ticket. Brian Monroe, Rashad Butler, they coming up after us today, Robbie? If you guys want some Canes reaction, I'm sure they are. They're going to have it all for you. As I said to start today's show, Miami, it feels like today feels like the day of a funeral. It really does. Like, there's a weird heaviness in the air after FIU won. I'm sure everybody at FIU is thrilled. But for the majority of the Canes fans out there, for all the Canes fans out there, losing to Butch Davis, the former architect of your program, the remake of your program, for him to get that win at your former stadium's ground, it's just a toxic feeling today in the air. Really, really is. And look, Manny Diaz said after the game yesterday, one of the darkest days in the history of the program. You know, I don't know how you bounce back from it. I really, really don't, especially with how things seemed like they were going, like he had turned things around. But again, that's a conversation for tomorrow from my standpoint. And I know Robbie, what are the odds that a shortlist will be busted out on tomorrow morning's show?
99%.
Okay. So unless Robbie's locked out of the studio, yes, and can't get to a microphone, that's the only margin for error we're putting, that the shortlist doesn't make it on the air tomorrow.
Like Stephen A. Smith said, you're going to give human beings a chance.
Right. So we've been talking a lot about the heavyweight division, rightfully so. Great performance by Deontay Wilder yesterday. I want to get into a little bit of this. So Floyd Mayweather shows up yesterday. I don't quite know, excuse my ignorance, I don't quite know why he was a promoter on this entire arrangement, but he's been showing up to basically every Fox card. I remember Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao both showing up to Errol Spence versus Mikey Garcia. It was really cool. Big entourage for both of those guys. They have a lot of people around them. But the big news this week as far as Floyd was concerned is he is coming out of retirement to fight in 2020. And that he put actually two posts. He put one, his first one was a post with Dana White as they were at the Clippers game together. And he says, Dana White and I working together again to bring the world another spectacular event in 2020. And then after that, he posted another Instagram thing that says, coming out of retirement in 2020. And it's a picture of him with his boxing trunks on, with his hands wrapped up, looking down. And, you know, we had Peter Kahn, a friend of the show and covers boxing for Forbes. We had him on hours after this had happened. And, you know, Peter's in the game. You know, he's a boxing manager. His guy, one of his fighters, Xander Zayas, who we've had on this program a couple of times. He is actually fighting next week. He's having his second pro fight on ESPN Plus, so you guys could check that out. He was sensational in his first fight. But he's like, I don't know what that could be. I don't know what this seems like, you know, an exhibition or a freak show. You know, just doesn't make sense. Doesn't seem like it's legit. So TMZ, who you go for all the legit journalism, they've broken a lot of stories, but this is what they say. They say that he's coming out of retirement for two bouts next year. One looks like it is going to be a rematch against Manny Pacquiao. And the other is going to be another crossover UFC match. As for dates, they say we're told that Floyd wants to fight in May and again in September. He's even thrown out the possibility of fighting at the new Raiders Stadium in Las Vegas. They say, again, it's very fluid and could change with the win. But for now, that's what we're told is the starting point. So, interesting. I do think that with Manny's resurgence and winning a championship, the way that he looked against Keith Thurman, he's reportedly looking at either Danny Garcia and Mikey Garcia for his next opponent, which are both fine. You know, he's got this new deal with Al Haymon and for PBC, and he's still just a huge star. I got to tell you, like, going to get to watch him against Keith Thurman, one of the coolest sporting events I've gotten to go to see 40-year-old Manny Pacquiao put Keith Thurman on the canvas early in that fight, how the place went crazy. He still has a huge buzz about him. And if Floyd were to come out, I think that in a weird way, enough time has passed with him being inactive in actual boxing and Manny still being active and really being a welterweight champion, you could kind of talk into, okay, we're going to start talking about the injury again. It's not going to be what it was. They're not going to do 4 million plus pay-per-views or whatever crazy number they threw out there. They're not both going to make, I think, $100 million for this fight. But if you could tell me that they're both going to make $50, I could believe that. I mean, Floyd may not come out for anything less than $100. That's kind of where he starts things. But if you were telling me Floyd's going to make $100, Manny's going to make $50, $40, something like that, I could buy it. As far as him fighting one of the young welterweights, that's just not realistic. Like, Terrence Crawford is coming out, and he's saying he wants to fight Floyd Mayweather in 2020. You know, Terrence has a couple of things going. One, he's, you know, legitimately one of the best welterweights on the planet. Two, nobody knows him. And three, he works for Bob Arum. So, I mean, you want to talk about the trifecta of you got no shot of fighting Floyd Mayweather. All those things are going to knock you off of it. Errol Spence is obviously recovering from his horrific car accident where he had all his teeth knocked out. We haven't really heard anything from him since. So I don't see that being the case, even if you wanted to say, well, is Al Haymon going to throw Floyd in there with him to make Errol Spence an even bigger deal? Can't see it. Would you put Errol Spence on the same card as Floyd Mayweather versus Manny Pacquiao? That I can see. You know, you put, if they could finally make Errol Spence versus Terrence Crawford, you know, eradicate all the BS there, make those guys fight and make them the co-main event to Manny Pacquiao versus Floyd Mayweather, that would be a smart move promoter-wise, because then those guys would get the true exposure they would need. And also, you know, they're not fighting two old guys in reality. Problem is with that, I imagine that both Terrence Crawford and Errol Spence are going to overplay how much value they would think they would bring to that card. And so I don't know how much the pie wants to get divvied up. You know, normally if you have a fight like Manny Pacquiao, Floyd Mayweather, and I assume it would be, you know, in a weird way, I would assume it would be on Fox pay-per-view, because that's kind of, they've seemed like they've taken all the big cookies from Showtime, and Floyd's been showing up to their broadcasts, and they're still under the Al Haymon banner of, you know, PBC and all that. So I assume, I really, you know what, guys, I really wouldn't be that surprised if this fight happens. I think Floyd spends a lot of money. I think he blows through a lot of money. I think he likes money. And I think he sees this as an easy payday. Could he lose the fight? I think what we've seen, what we've learned from, take what we learned from yesterday with Luis Ortiz, who looked in better shape, who looked like the better, you know, like looked like he changed a lot of stuff or fine tuned a lot of stuff. But ultimately, you're going to give Floyd a rematch against a guy he's already spent time in the ring with, who he probably already had a
stylistic advantage over. Even with his age, I don't see that changing too much. Now, if you talk about the Floyd Mayweather that fought Conor McGregor, who came forward and was all action, that would be fun because that would be an all action fight, and we'd be able to actually get, like, you know, these two clashing. It wouldn't be the bore fest that was their first bout, where we all felt like we were taken for a ride. I've never stared at a cable bill longer than staring at the $100 I spent on Floyd Mayweather versus Manny Pacquiao. But I've been waiting for it for so long. I'd already invested 6 years of my life into it, so, you know, I was waiting regardless. I think the more fascinating thing for me, honestly, because I really wouldn't be surprised if Floyd and Manny fight again, the more fascinating for me is what would the crossover fight be? There was some Twitter rumor there yesterday that they had already confirmed Khabib versus Floyd Mayweather for 2020. I don't buy it. I don't believe that Khabib is the box office draw that would warrant Floyd Mayweather fighting him. I really don't know if there's a current guy on the UFC roster realistically at Floyd's size that does make sense, because you'd have to go to the 155 division. I don't think Khabib is that guy. I don't think anybody else is really that guy. I suppose Jorge Masvidal could get back down to 155, because if he were to fight Floyd, they wouldn't have to go by USADA rules. So I assume he could use an IV. And Jorge has said that is the reason why he left 155 pounds, because you can't use IVs anymore. USADA doesn't allow it, so it was too hard. So could you theoretically see that? I guess, because he's mentioned the Canelo thing. But, you know, I just think that Jorge is too new on the scene for Floyd to want to do that. He is much bigger than him. You know, I just don't see it. I don't see it. I think the only guy really in UFC that makes sense is Conor McGregor. If Conor comes back and gets a win against Donald Cerrone, is that where he breaks off to? Does he go and do another Mayweather fight? Certainly could see it. The problem is, I just feel like Conor has a lot of rehabbing to do the type of box office draw that is going to need for both of those guys to make $100 million on that fight. You're talking about it needing to be, you know, 4 million plus pay-per-views. And I just can't imagine enough people reaching into their pocket and buying that fight after what we saw already. I can't. Especially with that one not having as much time as the Floyd Manny stuff and those guys' careers going in different paths. If Conor was riding high a little bit more, if he was a couple knockouts in, and if he was refurbished a little bit, then we could talk about, you know, Floyd wanted to do the fight. I saw the odds came out, and they said George St. Pierre was actually the second shortest. I found this, Robbie. What do you think about this? As a degenerate, what do you think about these odds? All right, these are the odds for his next opponent. Favorite, Manny Pacquiao +200. Makes sense. Second, I found this stunning. Second one, George St. Pierre +400. Khabib +450. Canelo +1,000, Connor +1,000, Dana White +1,000. I don't see it. George St. Pierre, why does he warrant those odds? It's such a strange thing to me. Like, seems to me if he's gonna fight somebody in UFC, Connor's the obvious bet. But I think the reason why, if TMZ's report, let's say TMZ's report is accurate, and first he's gonna do a Manny Pacquiao fight, I think doing that fight, the reason for doing that is, you want to see who in the UFC really should. Maybe Jorge Masvidal comes out and becomes champion and dominates another fight and flying knees somebody in 5 seconds. If that's the case, maybe they get him to the star power that Floyd warrants to make that fight happen, and he's a big enough deal. I think that Jorge Masvidal hasn't hit quite his ceiling of stardom yet. If he goes and has a sensational knockout, becomes welterweight champion, or knocks out Conor McGregor even. Let's say, you know, those guys were calling each other out back and forth on social media. If Jorge Masvidal were to get in an octagon with Conor McGregor and knock him out, if some way they could agree to that fight being at 155 pounds and Jorge was allowed to use an IV, or let's call it 160, you know, something in that realm that Jorge would be able to cut to. And he's a pro, so I think he'd be able to do it, even with him not fighting at the division in a while. If Jorge Masvidal could get a knockout win over Conor McGregor, or have not quite a level of Ben Askren knockout, but a crazy enough knockout against Colby or Kamaru. Maybe Nick Diaz. We talked about this. By the way, the Nick Diaz fans got so furious at my take last week about how I don't think that fight is as interesting as they think it is. They're like, "What? This guy doesn't know anything." It's like, bro, what are you all wearing? Your tap out shirts and your affliction shirts, you know, sipping on your big gulps, just super mad at the internet because I say that Nick Diaz isn't quite as big a deal as you think he is from 5 years ago. You dopes, you idiot Nick Diaz fans. That's what I'm saying, man. The Diaz fans, they're a cult. You can't trust them. They think the earth is flat. They're a bunch of Kyrie Irvings, bunch of weirdos. Anyway, I think theoretically, if Masvidal were to get a knockout that big, like against Conor McGregor, or win the welterweight championship in such sensational fashion, and Jorge is already talking about the desire to go and fight Canelo, that's something I could see where, like, okay, well, if he could get down to 155, if he could get down to that scope, 154, you were allowed to use IVs and rehydrate, then I could see the Floyd Mayweather thing happening. Then we could talk. But for right now, as things stand, I feel like the only guy who has the rightful quite the juice is Connor. Then I would throw Khabib third. I would say he's third. I think this is what I would say. Right now it's Connor and Khabib. Those are the two. But I think with one more big knockout, and especially if that were against Conor McGregor, I feel like George would leapfrog them all. It's just the big question is the size. Could you realistically make it happen? And I think that's a legit question. I don't know if you could. So that's the Floyd Mayweather news from this week. Everybody have a great rest of your Sunday. I'm going to the Panthers game tonight. Bring a little ice. We're going to go watch the Panthers try and bounce back after their loss against Carolina yesterday. Get this stink off of this Saturday. It was terrible. It was a terrible Saturday, but we'll talk more about it tomorrow. Brian Monroe, Rashad Butler, they will get into some Canes with you guys. You guys can react to it, all that stuff. We will be back with you tomorrow, 6 to 10 a.m., and we'll talk to you then.